So thank you again for the opportunity to share some thoughts here at Radhanam Nishwara's home. Dayananda Maharaj once came back from Soho. He had given some classes and came back to the manor, and I asked him how his trip was. And Dayananda Maharaj said to me, "It's amazing. When I give class at Soho, everyone's on your side." He says it's so easy to give class there because everyone's on your side. So I hope you'll be on my side today. And with your permission and blessings, I'll try to share some words. So, yes, there's a wonderful song that was sung by Lochan Das Thakur in which he's explaining Parama Karuna, Bahudui Jana, that these two individuals, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, are Parama Karuna. They're not just merciful, but they're the most merciful. And of course, in this age, to achieve perfection, we need the blessings of the most merciful, because Kali Yuga is not the most beneficial or the most ideal age for spiritual things. And therefore, in the next line, he says, "Savaya avatara sara siramani." That of all avatars, they are the crest jewel, the essence, siramani. So it's a wonderful song, and today is a wonderful opportunity, Nityananda Prabhu's appearance day, in which we can meditate on the mercy and the glories of Lord Nityananda. And in fact, this time of the year is amazing in the Gaudiya Vaishnava calendar, because in the run-up to Gaur Punim, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears, then all his associates are appearing in the same time. Just last week we had the appearance of Advaita Acharya. Now we're having the appearance of Nityananda Prabhu. In some time there will be the appearance also of Sri Das Thakur. And of course there will be Gaur Punim and the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. So Nityananda Prabhu, he appeared before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He appeared in 1474 in Ekachakra. Has anyone here ever been to Ekachakra? Yeah. It's a beautiful place. You could imagine when you go there, just Nityananda Prabhu just walking through. It's so beautiful and so inspiring. So, Lord Nityananda appeared in 1474, 12 years before Lord Chaitanya. He appeared in Ekachakra Dham. His mother and father, Hadai Pandit, Padmavati, were obviously overjoyed and full of bliss to have such a wonderful son. And in his childhood, Nityananda Prabhu performed many, many amazing pastimes and many, many amazing dramas, in which he would enact all the pastimes that Krishna performed when he was on this earth, all the different pastimes that Ramachandra performed on his earth. Nityananda Prabhu would perform the same dramas of those pastimes in Ekachakra. And the residents of Ekachakra were amazed at how this young boy, he had not read any shastra, he had not heard any of these leelas from anyone, yet he was performing them and reenacting them with such detail, with such devotion, and with such absorption. And there was an inkling of doubt in their mind. And they thought, this Nityananda Prabhu, there's something special about him. Maybe he is the Supreme Lord. But then Yogamaya covered them, and he continued his pastime. So after 12 years, two amazing events happened. The first event in 1486, 12 years into Nityananda Prabhu's life, was the advent of Lord Chaitanya. Nityananda Prabhu was in Ekachakra, and some distance away in Navadvip in 1486, Lord Chaitanya appeared. So it's explained that on the morning when Lord Chaitanya appeared, all the residents woke up, and there was a beautiful blue sky. And it was an especially wonderful day, an especially beautiful day. And as all the residents of Navadvip looked up at this clear blue sky, then they heard something amazing. They heard a huge huge roar. And that roar entered into their hearts and shook their hearts. And it's explained that that was the roar of Lord Nityananda all the way from Eka Chakra. He was roaring in ecstasy.
Haribo!
Haribo! Knowing that that very day, Lord Chaitanya would appear. And sure enough, at moonrise that day, on the lunar eclipse, Lord Chaitanya appeared. So Lord Nityananda was 12 years older than Lord Chaitanya. And another amazing thing happened when Lord Nityananda was 12 years old. A traveling sannyasi, a mendicant, came to the home of Hadai Pandit. And Hadai Pandit, as a very pious personality, received that sannyasi. And as a householder should, he asked that sannyasi, "What can I do for you? Is there anything I can give you?" The sannyasi said, "I'm fully satisfied. I don't require anything." He insisted, he said, no, please allow me to give you something." So the sannyasi said, "Okay, there's one thing you can give me, but I don't know if you'd want to give it to me." Hadai Pandit said, anything you want. And you know, when someone says something like that, something really outrageous is about to happen. So the sannyasi said, "Okay, I'm traveling across India from north, south, east to west to so many different holy places. But I need an assistant. I need someone to travel with me and to help me. And I would like your son, Nityananda, to come with me." And that was such a difficult thing for Hadai Pandit. How could he live without Nityananda, who was his very life? Not only was he Nityananda his son, but Nityananda was the very reservoir of pleasure, none different from Balaram. And that strong attachment was there. But then Hadai Pandit meditated on Dasarath, who allowed Ram to go to the forest. And he understood his duty and responsibility as a Grihastha to serve the sannyasis. So with a heavy heart, he allowed Nityananda Prabhu to travel. So Nityananda Prabhu at the age of 12 went traveling with the sannyasi all over India. They went to many, many different holy places. And like this, Nityananda served this sannyasi. After 20 years, at the age of 32, another amazing thing happened in the life of Lord Nityananda. So far, Nityananda was traveling to different places, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing his pastimes in Navadvip, and they had not yet met. So after Lord Chaitanya appeared, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was known as Nimai Pandit at that time, he was performing many pastimes in Navadvip, and primarily he was acting as a scholar, as someone who knew the intricacies of the Vedas and was able to debate and defeat anyone. And these were the pastimes of Nimai Pandit, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had not yet manifested the divine love that would overflow in the whole universe. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life then, as he grew up, Jagannath Mishra passed away, his father. And a few years after Jagannath Mishra passed away, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made a trip to Gaya. He made the trip to Gaya on the pretext that he would be offering some ceremony, some pinda, for his deceased father. But there was a deeper reason why he went to Gaya. Because in Gaya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Ishwar Puri. Now that was an amazing meeting. He met Ishwar Puri, and Ishwar Puri immediately chastised Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the greatest scholar. He had defeated everyone. He had defeated Keshav Kashmiri, so many different personalities, and he had established himself as the greatest scholar in all of India. Ishwar Puri looked at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he said, "Mulka tumi, tomar nahik vedant adhikar, Krishna mantra japa shada ei mantra sar." Ishwarpuri looked at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he said, Murkatumi, you are a fool. Tomar Nahik Vedanta Adhikar, you don't have any qualification to study Vedanta. All your study of Vedanta, all your study of this logic and argument won't get you anywhere. Krishna Mantra Japa Shada. Just chant Krishna's names. A Mantra Sar. This mantra is the essence of everything. So that hit Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No one had humbled him like that so far. Of course, this was all the Lord's pastimes. So he left from Ishwarapuri and he began chanting. He began chanting the Hare Krishna mantra with great love. And immediately he began to manifest signs of ecstasy. He was rolling on the ground, he was falling down, his hairs were standing on end, perspiration, so many things. He came back to Ishwarapuri. And he said to Ishwarapuri, Kiba mantra dile goshai. Kiba tanabal. Japita japita mantra kurila pahabal. He came back to Ishwarapuri and he said, Kiba mantra dile goshai. Oh Gosai, what kind of mantra have you given me? Kiba tanabal. What is the power of this mantra? Japite japite mantra. I'm chanting this mantra again and again. Gorila Bhagal. And I'm becoming completely mad. Ishwarapuri looked at him and he goes, don't worry, it's working. This is what's supposed to happen. So like this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became infused with love of Godhead. And he wanted to immediately go to Vrindavan. But his associates informed him that his mission was to inaugurate the Sankirtan movement. And now that ecstasy had manifested within himself, his first duty was to go back to Navadvip and inaugurate the movement of chanting the holy names. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to Navadvip and he began the Sankirtan movement. Now Nityananda Prabhu was travelling at this time, and obviously Nityananda Prabhu is the very direct expansion of Lord Chaitanya, and he could now understand that Lord Chaitanya had inaugurated the Sankirtan movement. So he decided now is the time to go and go back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and meet him again so that we can be together and fulfill our purpose in this world. So at the age of 32, Nityananda Prabhu came to Navadvip. And at the house of Nandanacharya, if you come out of our Mayapur Chandraloya Mandir and you do a left, and you just walk just down the road there, then there's the home of Nandanacharya. And there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu had an amazing meeting. When they saw each other, they became stunned. They became still. They were in complete ecstasy, and then they embraced and rolled around on the ground, and all the devotees were in tears to see the reunion of the Bahudui Jana, the two personalities who were the personification of Paramakaruna. So like this, Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came together in Navadvip, and then after that, the rest of the pastimes of Lord Nityananda were very much pastimes of preaching. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, immediately after meeting Nityananda Prabhu, he gave him that order. He said to Nityananda Prabhu, Prati ghare ghare giya, magiyeya bhiksha, bola Krishna, bhaja Krishna, kora Krishna, shiksha. He said to Nityananda Prabhu, Prati ghare ghare giya, go to every single home, Magiyeya Bhiksha, and ask every householder just for some small charity. Not for money. Ask them some small charity, Bola Krishna, chant Krishna's names. Bhaja Krishna, do some small service for Krishna. Guru Krishna, Shiksha, and try to follow Krishna's instructions. So like this, Lord Nityananda became the original Sankirtan devotee, and along with Nityananda Prabhu, along with Haridas Thakur, they went door to door, begging everyone to please take up this wonderful gift of chanting the holy name of Krishna. So I was thinking it like, what does Nityananda Prabhu teach us through his life and pastimes and many, many wonderful activities? What is Lord Nityananda teaching us about spiritual life? What lessons can we draw and meditate on this very auspicious day? And the first thing that came to mind when I think of Nityananda Prabhu and the lessons that he teaches us is that Nityananda Prabhu teaches us that spiritual life is full of personality. Because there is no personality like Nityananda Prabhu. Isn't it? When you read his pastimes and the outrageous and amazing and weird and wonderful and colorful things that he does, then you think he's a real personality. Sometimes if you go to, or sometimes your old friends who may meet you after you become a devotee, they say, you know, if you join a movement or a religion, you lose your personality, you lose your individuality. But actually we see that those devotees who take Krishna consciousness in a deep way actually reveal their real identity. And spiritual life is full of so many different personalities. Yeah. It's like I had the fortune of staying here. I think it was in 2004. I had the fortune of staying here for 3 or 4 months. And one morning, Mahaduti Prabhu, he told me to go on reception. So I thought, okay, it's nice. You can do a lot of reading there. Not that I wasn't getting time for reading. So I went on reception, and I was sitting on reception downstairs and reading, and yeah, when someone knocked, opening the door, and so on and so forth. And after 1 hour on reception, I had an amazing realization. I had an amazing realization that I had no idea who was going to walk through that door next. It could be a millionaire, or it could be a beggar off the street. It could be someone who was very, very scholarly and educated and from a very aristocratic background, or it could just be a very simple person who may not even know how to speak English. And I was amazed that there's so many different personalities and characters who are coming here to offer their respects and prayers to Radha Nandanishwara. And then I remember coming up after the reception and walking along here and then looking through this door with the window. And I was looking into the temple room and everyone was taking prasadam. And I was just seeing all these different people from different backgrounds just sitting next to each other and taking prasadam. And I thought, this is the power of Krishna consciousness, that it can bring together people who have so many different personalities and link them through bhakti to Krishna. So spiritual life is full of personality. And if we read the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, we see that there are so many different personalities. Advaita Acharya, he is older than Lord Chaitanya. He appeared 50 years before Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya, and obviously Advaita Acharya is the disciple of Madhavendra Puri, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual master Ishvara Puri is also the disciple of Madhavendra Puri. So naturally Lord Chaitanya had very, very great respect for Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya, however, knew that Lord Chaitanya was the Supreme Lord. So whenever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would offer him respects, he always felt a little uncomfortable. So Advaita Acharya had one mission in his life, that he wanted Lord Chaitanya to treat him as a subordinate. But Lord Chaitanya would never do that. So Advaita Acharya, one day, he decided, I am going to make Lord Chaitanya treat me as a subordinate. So he came up with this weird and wonderful idea. He decided that at his home in Shantipur, where he would lecture every day, he would begin to start extolling the glories of Mayavad philosophy. And if there's one thing that Lord Chaitanya cannot tolerate, it's Mayavad philosophy. Sarvaita Acharya began talking about the glories of Jnana and the glories of Mayavad. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was in Navadvip, he heard about this. He heard that Advaita Acharya is speaking Mayavad philosophy. So he was angry. So he jumped into the Ganga, he swam down the Ganga, and he came to Shantipur. Advaita Acharya could understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had now come to Shantipur. So he began with even more enthusiasm to speak Mayavad philosophy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came up to the home. He entered the home. He entered the place where Advaita Acharya was lecturing. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was getting more and more angry. He came in front of Advaita Acharya and he said, I want you to tell me what is greater, jnana or bhakti? And Advaita Acharya, without a flinch, without even thinking, with no hesitation whatsoever, looked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu right in the eyes and said, jnana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so angry. He became so angry that he jumped on top of Advaita Acharya. He caught hold of him. He pulled him off the Vyasasan. He slammed him down on the patio and he began beating him. Now this is an incredible scene. Advaita Acharya is being beaten by Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya is completely angry. Advaita Acharya, on the other hand, is in ecstasy. He's thinking, I've realized my ambition now. Lord Chaitanya is treating me as a subordinate and is chastising me. So Advaita Acharya is in ecstasy. Then behind Advaita Acharya is Sita Devi, his wife. And she's just crying and crying. She's trying to reason with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is very old. He's not a young man. He's 70 years. He's going to die if you carry on like this. So she's just crying and crying. Behind Sita Devi is Nityananda Prabhu. And he's just dancing. He's just dancing to see the whole scene, and he's just laughing and laughing. And then behind Nityananda Prabhu is Haridas Thakur, and he's just chanting. He's just chanting, and he's just praying, and he's just hoping that the holy name will sort everything out. So it's an amazing scene. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is angry. Advaita Acharya is in ecstasy. Sita Devi is crying, Nityananda Prabhu is dancing, and Haridas Thakur is praying. The amazing thing is, they're all 100% Krishna conscious. Because this is the nature of this movement, that there are so many different personalities and so many different ways in which people express their bhakti. And Nityananda Prabhu is very much the prime example of this. Nityananda Prabhu, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, then Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Shantipur, to the house of Advaita Acharya. So Advaita Acharya said, please sit down, I want to feed you prasadam. So they both sat down. And Advaita Acharya began bringing out all these opulent preparations. So there were so many different preparations, prasadam preparations. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, who cooked all of this? So Advaita Acharya was explaining who cooked it. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so amazed by all the different cooking preparations that were made that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I will personally place the lotus feet of anyone who can cook like this, I will place their feet on my head. He was so amazed. But then he looked at Advaita Acharya and he said, I've just taken sannyas. I can't eat opulently like this. It wouldn't be befitting my social position. So like this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very humbly pleading with Advaita Acharya that please, just give me some boiled vegetables or something. This is too opulent. Nityananda Prabhu, who was sitting next to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had a slightly different perspective. Nityananda Prabhu looked at Advaita Acharya and he said, I have been fasting for 3 days. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas in Katwa and we walked all the way here to Shantipur. For 3 days I haven't had a decent meal. And I was hoping that I would come to your home and you would feed me properly. But I'm looking at all these things that you've made and I don't even think they will fill half of my belly. So Advaita Acharya looks at him and he's a little stunned. The Advaita Acharya says, look, you're a sannyasi. A sannyasi means you eat fruits and roots. You know, sometimes you get good prasadam, sometimes you don't, sometimes you have to fast. You're a sannyasi, you just have to accept whatever I can give you. So Nityananda Prabhu said, no. You invited me here for prasadam, so you should satisfy me. Advaita Acharya said, you are a reject Paramahamsa. He said, don't be greedy. You're a complete reject Paramahamsa. And after seeing your example, I don't even feel like inviting any more sannyasis. Then Nityananda Prabhu said, what to do? He began eating. Then he began eating, and in the middle of his meal, he just became again. He just became so angry. He picked up the rice and he threw it on the floor. And then a few of those morsels of rice deflected off the floor and hit the body of Advaita Acharya and he began dancing in ecstasy. So like this, Nityananda Prabhu is a real personality. He's a real individual. And we should, in our Krishna conscious lives, try to find our individuality and try to find how we can uniquely give ourselves to Krishna. Krishna endows everyone with different personalities, different talents, different abilities. And really, in Krishna consciousness, we just have to find the unique way in which we can give ourselves to Krishna. And Nityananda Prabhu is teaching us this through his very personal approach to spiritual life. And naturally, in a movement where there's so many different personalities, there'll be differences of opinion. And sometimes we may not be able to understand someone else's personality. But actually, when we read the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when we read the pastimes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, then we see that actually we have to respect everyone's individuality and try not to be judgmental. And try to honor and appreciate the devotion that anyone who comes to this movement has. Because anyone who comes to this movement is special. And in that way, we have to try to go beyond the externals and appreciate that everyone's an individual and everyone is in their own individual way giving themselves to Krishna. I just wanted to read you a poem about this that someone wrote. His name is Michael Chandra. I found it quite interesting. So this is about a devotee who goes back to Goloka Vrindavan. I was shocked, confused, bewildered as I entered Goloka's door. Not by the beauty of it all, nor by the lights or its decor, but it was the devotees in Goloka that I was shocked to see. I knew them all on earth, but they didn't seem to have very much bhakti. There stood my Sankirtan leader, the one who stole Krishna's money twice. Alexei? Next to him was my old TP, the one who wasn't really very nice. Krishna Das, who never preached, who seemed so insincere, was sitting ecstatically with Krishna, to whom he seemed so dear. I asked my guru, what's going on? Of this, I don't know what to make. How did all these devotees end up here? Did someone make a mistake? And why is everyone so quiet? Why are they so serious? Give me a clue. Quiet, Prabhu, my guru said. They're all in shock. No one thought they'd be seeing you. So it's like this. Look around at all the devotees and you can crisscross us like this, this guy's a little spaced out, this guy. But beyond everything, anyone who comes to this movement is amazing. The residents of Kulinagram asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is a Vaishnava? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave many answers, but one answer he gave is a Vaishnava is one who chants or even hears the holy name once. So Nityananda Prabhu is teaching us that spiritual life is full of personality. The second major lesson that I thought Nityananda Prabhu really teaches us is that spiritual life is full of happiness. Yeah. Nityananda, his name, Nitya Ananda, eternally happy. Nityananda Prabhu is always happy. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur is singing, Ha Ha Prabhu Nityananda, Premananda Sukhi, Kripa Balokana Koro, Ami Baru Dukhi. I am very unhappy, but you are Premananda Sukhi, you are always overflowing with happiness. So please, you also make me happy. And in this way, Nityananda Prabhu is showing us that spiritual life is, yes, Kevala Ananda Kanda, is very, very joyfully performed. Recently we were doing an ashram in the an exercise in the Brahmacharya ashram. So we all sat down and we said, what qualities are needed to survive in the Brahmacharya ashram? So everyone was coming out with different qualities. One person said determination, one person said humility, one person said, tolerance. So many, many different qualities were coming out. And then one devotee stood up and he said, sense of humor. And I thought, yeah, you need to have a sense of humor. You need to be able to just laugh and be happy. And in that way, we can carry on. There's a story once Harisari Prabhu tells of Srila Prabhupada, that once Prabhupada was, I think it was in South America, and he was sitting at his desk, and many, many devotees were coming in to see Srila Prabhupada. So one person came in and said, Prabhupada, in New York, there's this legal problem with the temple, the authorities are going to shut us down, they're banning us from these places, so many legal problems. So Prabhupada was hearing everything, and he thought, okay, what to do? Then another devotee came in. While that devotee was continuing, another one came in, and he said, in this part of the world, this devotee has fallen away, he's deviated from the principles, and, many, many of the congregation and different people are getting bewildered. So another problem came. Then another person came and he said, in this part of the world, we're having financial problems. the temple's going to close down. We don't have any money. So Prabhupada's just hearing all these problems. And then Srila Prabhupada just gets up and then he goes into the next room. And then Srila Prabhupada, he just throws himself down on the bed. He just throws himself down like this and he just starts laughing. The devotees are completely bewildered. And then Prabhupada just looks at the devotees and said, sometimes you just have to laugh. So it's like that. Our problems are, there are many, many problems, but sometimes you just have to laugh. Tribhuvanath Prabhu used to say, don't take the illusion too seriously. Right? So, yeah, there are problems in spiritual life and there are difficulties. But actually, when we are able to extend our vision and see life in a much broader perspective, then actually we see that whatever problems are there are not actually that important. Right? It's like when I was 13 or 14, I used to play badminton. So when I was 13 or 14, I got to the finals of some badminton competition, whatever it was. And I lost in the final. And that was like so bewildering. Right? It's like for days I couldn't leave home. Because I lost some crummy badminton competition. Right? I couldn't leave home. It was so much anxiety for me. But as I grow up, now I'm, you know, 20 years on, and I look back at that and I think, what was that about? So insignificant. Right? But when we're in the situation, we think it's so big. So similarly, when we spiritually grow up, when we spiritually mature, then all the problems that we're going through in our lives right now, we are able to put it in a much greater perspective. And therefore the problems are not affecting us anymore. So in this way, as we become more and more absorbed in the spiritual reality, then we are finding that the problems of day-to-day life are no longer affecting us. Right? And Nityananda Prabhu is the personification of absorption in chanting and dancing and performing the Sankirtan movement. Right? It said Nityananda's kirtan was so special that Nityananda Prabhu, he would begin a kirtan and the kirtan party would come through a village and people would just spontaneously come out of their homes and join that kirtan party. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains in Chaitanya Bhagavat that old men would come into the kirtan party of Nityananda Prabhu and they would begin jumping. They would jump so high that they would jump on top of trees. And then, once on the tree, they would go to the end of the branches and they would begin dancing on the branches. And the amazing thing is the branches didn't even snap. It's explained that one time Nityananda Prabhu did a kirtan for 30 days non-stop. And young boys were joining and they became so ecstatic in the middle of the kirtan that they began uprooting trees. Amazing. And Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that when Nityananda Prabhu would start a kirtan, people would go into that kirtan and sometimes they would never even come out. And then when these people of the village were lost in the kirtan, then the other village leaders would go to try and find them in the kirtan. And when they went into the kirtan, they would also become lost. And like this, it's explained that whole villages were becoming lost in Nityananda's kirtan. So it's like, you know, like you think one time maybe I'll walk up these stairs, I'll come into a kirtan here in Soho Temple Room and maybe I'll just never leave. And Nityananda's dancing, wow, that was something else. It's explained that Lord Chaitanya would always appear in four places. Sachira Mandire or Nityananda Tane, Shriva Sakirtane or Raghava Bhavane. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would always appear in four places. Sachimata's temple, where Nityananda Prabhu was dancing, where Srivas Thakur was doing kirtan, and in the home of Raghava Pandit. Echari Thani Prabhur Sada Avir Bhav, Prema Krishna Hoye Prabhur Sahaja Svabhav. Echari Thani Prabhur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would appear in those four places, Sada Avir Bhav, without fail, every single time. Why? Prema Krishna Hoya Prabhur. Because he is Prema Krishna. He is attracted by love. And in these places, there was immeasurable love being offered to Lord Chaitanya, and therefore he would appear. So the kirtan was not an ordinary kirtan. It was prema kirtan. It was kirtan which was done with such love. And therefore, even Maharaj Prachaparudra, when the kirtan party came from Bengal and entered Jagannath Puri, Maharaj Prachaparudra was amazed. He had seen many, many devotees performing kirtan. Jagannath Puri was known as a place where people would come and do kirtan. So he had seen many, many kirtan parties before. But when he saw the devotees from Bengal coming in their Harinam party, then he said, this is something different. Because this is not just kirtan, this is prema kirtan. The kirtan of divine love. So we see like this that spiritual life is happily performed and it attracts people. Like recently I was at Kumbh Mela, which is an interesting place. So we went to Kumbh Mela, and it's like in Kumbh Mela you see so many different personalities. I mean, one yogi was buried under the ground for 8 days or something. Another yogi had like a gasoline fire circle around him, and inside the circle he was meditating. Another yogi had grown his nails for however many years. Another yogi had, you know, stood on one leg for 25 years. You know, then you can just go down different places and there's just rows of babas, you know, and they'll pull out a few snakes here and there, and it's an interesting place, as you can imagine. But when the Harinam party went out onto the Kumbh Mela site, that was special. There were so many different people doing so many, many different things. But when the devotees went out and with great enthusiasm and love chanted Krishna's names, then that attracted everyone. The kirtan party would go out, and if the kirtan party just stopped somewhere for 15 seconds, immediately there was 100 people surrounding the devotees and dancing. They were distributing 5,000 Bhagavad Gitas every day, you know. So it's special. The Sankirtan movement is special. It's joyfully performed. And of course, yeah, we're struggling. It's difficult. Difficult, they say. Material life is, spiritual life is difficult, but material life is impossible. So spiritual life is, yeah, it's difficult. Recently we went out on Sankirtan to Luton. So we parked up the car and then we got into the lift. So then we got into the lift, there was two of us. We had the books there and everything. So the lift door closed, pushed the ground floor button. So we looked round. Normally in lifts they have a mirror. Not that we were looking to look in the mirror. So we turned around, there's no mirror. But there was a big advert. And there was an advert from the Samaritans. There was a big advert. And it said, lonely, angry, frustrated. And then it had a number. It said, call the Samaritans and you'll find someone you can speak to. The devotee looked at me and he goes, that sounds like a typical day on Sankirtan. Maybe we should key that number. Maybe we can use it. And I was thinking, yeah, like sometimes we're out there, we're doing Sankirtan or we're doing some preaching, and maybe we're not feeling it so much. We're not feeling that happiness so much. Sometimes we may look at other people and think, oh, they look a bit more happy than me. You know, so in that way we're struggling. But actually when we get absorbed in the spiritual practices, and really when we get absorbed in giving Krishna to others, then we experience that happiness, actually. And that's Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu is teaching us that spiritual life is full of happiness, and the essence of that happiness is found in trying to make other people happy. That selflessness is very, very powerful. If we try to bring out the best in other people, then Krishna will bring out the best in us. If we try to make other people happy, then Krishna will automatically awaken that happiness within us. And if we in this way try to give bhakti to others, then we will get more bhakti. So yeah, spiritual life is full of happiness, and we're seeing this in the pastimes of Nityananda Prabhu. And the final thing, it's coming up to 10 o'clock, so I'm going to wrap up, but the final thing that I thought Nityananda Prabhu teaches us is that spiritual life is full of hope. Because in the pastimes of Nityananda Prabhu, we see devotees who went through many obstacles, devotees who had very difficult times, devotees who maybe sometimes even made mistakes. But Nityananda Prabhu always helped them and gave them great hope and mercy. Isn't it? Like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, one time Miniketana Ram came to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's home, and the priest in Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's home, Gunarnatha Mishra, he didn't receive Miniketana Ram properly. And then, to make it worse, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's brother, he also didn't object to this offense by the priest. So Miniketana Ram, who was a great devotee of Lord Nityananda, was in this way offended in the house of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So being offended, he broke his flute and he went away. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was lamenting like anything that in my home an offense has been committed like this, I will be ruined. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was lamenting and lamenting. That very night, Nityananda Prabhu came to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in his dream. And in Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's dream, Nityananda Prabhu told him, "Are Are Krishnadas, Nakaraha Bhai, Vrindavana Yahataha, Sarva Labhyahai. Are Are Krishnadas, O Krishnadas, Nakaraha Bhai, don't worry, don't be in anxiety. Vrindavana Yahataha, go to Vrindavan. Sarva Labhyahai, and there you will get everything." So in the morning, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami woke up and he went to Vrindavan. And what did Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami obtain in Vrindavan? He obtained residence at Shyam Kund, at Manasapavan Ghat, where Srimati Radharani takes her midday bath. What did Krishnadas Kaviraj obtain in that place? He obtained the association of Raghunath Das Goswami, Haridas Pandit, so many Vaishnavas. And what was he doing in that place? He obtained the service of writing Chaitanya Charitamrita, and in this way absorbing himself in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Nityananda Prabhu told him, "Don't worry, go to Vrindavan, you will get everything." And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami got everything. Jagai and Madai had performed so many sinful activities. You know, sometimes, like this morning, they're doing the play of Jagai and Madai at the manor. So it's like sometimes when we do the play of Jagai and Madai, then, you know, they're kind of made out to be these like really jolly kind of, you know, they're a bit loud and stuff, but they seem like quite nice people, you know, right? But actually, Jagai and Madai were really heavy characters. Really heavy characters. I mean, they had done some pretty bad things. And then they chased away Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, and then Madai had thrown the clay pot in Nityananda Prabhu's face. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and was ready to kill them. But Nityananda Prabhu said, no. If you kill them, you'll have to kill everyone. Right? There's many, many Jagat and Madhais in today's day and age. So Nityananda Prabhu said, no, give them mercy. So in that way, Nityananda Prabhu also gave Jagat and Madhai so much mercy. He gave Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami so much mercy. Nityananda Prabhu gave Raghunath Das Goswami so much mercy. When Raghunath Das Goswami was 15 years old, he went to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wanted to stay with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wanted to renounce his household life. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you're too young, go back. 4 years later, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had gone to South India so many places, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to Shantipur. Raghunath Das Goswami went again wanting to renounce home. He spoke to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he spent 1 week with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, go home, the time is not right. So he went back. Then after 1 year, Raghunath Das Goswami said, again, I'm going to try and leave. So again, he tried to leave, but then he got entangled in some financial family affair, so he couldn't leave. Then it said by Kaviraj Goswami that Raghunath Das Goswami would try to run away to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Every week he was trying. But the gods and different people would catch him and bring him back home. So like this, Raghunath Das Goswami was trying so much to leave home, to cut all his material attachments and to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But every single time he was failing. But then, he went to Panihati. And who did he meet in Panihati? Nityananda Prabhu. Raghunath Das Goswami came to Panihati. Nityananda Prabhu was sitting on a throne. Immediately Nityananda Prabhu said, come here. Why are you sitting so far away? Come closer. So Raghunath Das Goswami came. And then Nityananda Prabhu forcibly put his feet on Raghunath Das Goswami's head. And he said, Raghunath Das Goswami, you are a young, rich boy from an aristocratic family, so you should feed all the Vaishnavas. So he organized a wonderful chipped rice festival. And then Raghunath Das Goswami came to Nityananda Prabhu after the festival and he said, I have been trying to renounce home, renounce my family life. Can you give me your blessings? So Nityananda Prabhu got all the different Vaishnavas together and he said, bless this Raghunath Das Goswami, and they all blessed him. And in this way Raghunath Das Goswami was able to attain the shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Nityananda Prabhu is teaching us that spiritual life is full of hope. No matter how difficult the situation, no matter what mistakes we make, no matter how dry our spiritual life may seem, if we take shelter of Lord Nityananda, then everything can change. Everything can change. And therefore, Lord Nityananda is giving great hope in spiritual life. And this hope is what helps us to continue on in spiritual life. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, Na prema shravanadi bhakti rapiva yogo tava vaishnavo jnanam ka shubhakarma va kiyadaho sajjate rapyastiva hinarthadika sadake tvaitatha pyacheda mula sati he gopi janavallabha vithayate ha ha madashe vama. It's a wonderful prayer where Rupa Goswami is saying, Na prema, I don't have any love. Shravanadi bhakti rapiva, I don't have any attraction to performing devotional service. Yoga tava vaishnavo, I don't have any mystic abilities or great power of austerity. Jnanam ka, I don't even have much intelligence, I don't know many things. Shubhakarma va, I haven't performed so many pious activities. Sajjatirapyastiva. I wasn't born in a very spiritual family. All in all, I don't really have much qualification at all to practice spiritual life. But hey gopi janavallabha vithayate ha ha madashi rama. But my Lord, I know that you are the deliverer of the most fallen, and you give mercy even to those who don't deserve any mercy. And therefore, I have an unbreakable hope. I have an unbreakable positivity within my heart that I will be able to achieve the shelter of your lotus feet. So Nityananda Prabhu is the personification of this mercy and hope in spiritual life. That, yeah, Maya is very strong and spiritual life can be very difficult. But the great hope is that with the shelter and mercy of Lord Nityananda, we can definitely be successful. So today I just wanted to share those thoughts with you, and in this way we can pray to Lord Nityananda that just as he is the personification of personality in spiritual life, that we can find the individual way in which we can give ourselves to Krishna. Just as Nityananda Prabhu is the personification of happiness in spiritual life, let us learn to be happy in spiritual life and to wonderfully engage with great enthusiasm in this process. And just as Nityananda Prabhu is the personification of mercy and hope in spiritual life, let us always have this great hope and this great sense of anticipation that one day, surely, we can also achieve perfection. So Nityananda Trayodashi is a mystical day. I've definitely experienced it somewhat in my life, that prayers and spiritual practice on this day can be very, very powerful. And many, many devotees have confirmed also that on this day, Nityananda Trayodashi, very mystical and amazing things can happen in one's spiritual life. So let's take full advantage of this wonderful day and try to petition Nityananda Prabhu for his mercy, and in this way achieve the success of our lives. Nityananda Mahajana ki, Nityananda Rama ki, Nityananda Prabhu ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandi.
Very nice class. I was just going to ask for questions. If anyone, anyone has any questions they would like to ask you before? Looks like your class is turning everyone into deep ecstasy. I was going to say that your class was so enlivening that it set off the fire alarm. You were so hot for a moment. The place was set on fire. So.
How about rituals to just keep on going?
So we're taking requests, and yours is to keep going. Thank you very much for a very enlightening and inspiring class. Please come back, and we're sorry that you weren't here for the kirtan this morning. That is going to keep you here, but next time when we know you're coming, we're going to try especially hard so that you stick around. Thank you very much. So, we're going to continue with the festivities for the day. So we'll have some bhajans now that will take us up to 12:30. Darshan and lunch will be arti and kirtan. And then after that, at 1 o'clock, we're going to serve Lomichananda's feast. That will take us up to probably about 3 o'clock. And at 3 o'clock, we'll have Harinam Sankirtan. So we ask all the devotees to please assemble after the feast outside so that we can have nice Harinam procession and distribute books and prasad and give the holy name and the mood of Lord Nityananda to all of the personalities roaming the streets of London. And we'll come back here for Abhishek ceremony at 4:30. And after the Abhishek, at about 5:15 or 5:30, there will be back-to-back dramas. So this evening will be very eventful, very dramatic, full of different characters and personalities. So we'll have the Radha Krishna drama group, and they'll be doing first drama at 5:30 approximately, 5:15 to 5:30. And after that, we'll have the ladies group, ladies sangha. They'll be doing a drama also. The first group, I'm not sure the drama, what it is. I can't remember. Are you in it, Mother? You're in that drama?
He's not telling you.
Is it a surprise? Okay, so the first one is a surprise. Is the second one also a surprise? Yes. Okay, I didn't know if I did that. Okay, so you're in for lots of surprises today. And that will take us up to the Gaur Arti Kirtan at 7. And then this evening we will have Maha Harinam, as it is Saturday night, so lots of devotees, I think, are coming from the manor also for the Harinam. Of course, Parashara, who hopefully will be here, I guess.
Yeah,
he's bringing the big PA, okay? His big personal assistant. So don't mess with him today. and then we'll have Harinam this evening, and that will go on possibly till midnight. Okay, so Nityananda Ram K. Nityananda Prabhu K. Okay, I think that's it. Thank you very much, Sutapu. It's very Sutapu. One more round of gratitude and appreciation for Sutapu by chanting three loud. Haribo!
Haribo! Haribo! Haribo!
Sutapu. Okay. Legends.
Krishna, 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 Krish